Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance, with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance, neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to
what's
the
up, what's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you, and well, I'll tell you, it's an amazing markets we have here. I've seen some interesting divergences in which I can't say that I've seen them before. We now see that the S&P over the last month is higher and the Dow is lower. Really interesting to watch that diverge. We've got some major things happening, and I just, you know, again, a lot of things that just don't really add up in the big scheme of life and the big scheme of trading. And you know, as we watch the markets and knowing, I mean, we know for a fact that the markets are going to have a collapse. The question is, of course, is when. And we're not going to predict it, but there are so many things that don't add up. And when you combine in central banks and a Federal Reserve that really has no clue, and not only do they have no clue, but in my opinion, they are gutless, heartless, and really could care less about the overall status or the overall condition of us, but they are actually insisting that the wealthy continue to get wealthier. And I find it a little bit troubling that we have a group in power that continue to, you know, be lost, painted into a corner. It reminds me of watching Bozo the Clown when I was a kid. And they, you know, do the scene where the guy paints, you know, the clown, one of the clowns would paint, and they always painted themselves in the corner and couldn't get out. And this is very much what I'm seeing here. I don't really understand it. I don't understand their thought process. I mean, the mindset of what these people have is unbelievable. Now, when did they say, where was it written that the Fed should worry about whether or not the stock market goes up? Let's take a look back and see what we've created here. We've created first of all, we've created companies that are now too big to fail. So not only were the banks too big to fail, but now the companies are too big to fail. Why? Because they've been building artificial balance sheets by buying back their stock, by, you know, doing mergers and acquisitions. So we're reducing or eliminating the number of companies that we have. Okay, that's number one. Number two, we have a chase for yield by, you know, everybody always chases yield, right? We're always looking to make more money on our money. But you're now forcing what I'll call the elderly, and I don't mean it in any other way other than you have older people that have worked their whole lives to save money so that they could retire comfortably in a position where they figured they'd take their money and maybe they'd have some money market invested in the markets, but they'd have some in CDs, they'd have some in bonds, and they can live well enough to keep the same life they had while they were actually working. But now they could be retired. We don't have that opportunity anymore. You are forcing those people to also be in the stock market. Okay. And again, there's nothing wrong with the stock market. I love the stock market. But, you know, we talk a lot about here on the Bubba Show, the endowment model. We talk a lot about, you know, diversifying your assets. And unfortunately, because of the Fed and because of the central banks around the world, that is really not an option right now, especially if you're at the finish line. Now, you know, if you're young, then it's not as big a deal, because if something does go wrong, you have time to recover. But if you are in retirement and you've got your entire principal, okay, in the market, what happens if it collapses and your portfolio gets cut down in half? How good is those 5% and 2% and 3% dividend payers? The notion that getting a dividend is safer than being in a, you know, a bank or a low interest or an interest bearing bond is silly. Okay. The notion that, excuse me, taking all your money and putting into gold is silly. Why? Because you can't get return, and gold is nothing but a hard asset. Okay. So when we look at all these things, we wonder, and I wonder, how are they going to exit? How are we going to get out of the crappy mess that our Federal Reserve, starting with Ben Bernanke, and then now continuing with Janet Yellen and all the other goofs that are part of it, when if you would just rip the Band-Aid off and let the stock market do what it's going to do, you can then bring back in liquidity for entrepreneurs, for small business, but you've shut them out. Credit card debt among those people is the highest of all time. Margin debt is the highest of all time. Where do we think this is going to end? You know, eventually, fundamentals and technicals have to meet up. So if you think that we're going to, you know, this is going to go away, as the Fed thinks it's going to go away, you better think again. This could be one of the worst asset bubbles that we've ever had, because this is the silent killer. This is like almost like carbon monoxide. You feel okay, you feel okay, you feel okay, and then one day you wake up and you're broke. And I'm not encouraging anybody to dump out of the market. I'm not saying it's time to get out. I'm saying that hedge yourself, protect yourself, diversify yourself. If you've got some monster profits, take some off the table, put them in your pocket. That's what I'm saying. Again, I don't want to predict the market. I don't have any idea when it's going to collapse. But I do know for a mathematical certainty it's going to collapse, as every other bubble in history has. So when we recognize that it's an asset bubble, you will see that it's time to go ahead and take a little bit off the table, hedge yourself. If you don't know how, we're going to be offering a new special service that will help you hedge that portfolio. But you have to protect. That's the key. Protect your assets, okay? Protect yourself. Now, for my friends in the farming community and the producers, on Tuesday night, I'm offering at 7 o'clock Central Time, 8 o'clock Eastern, a special hedging webinar in which I'm going to give you some general ideas. To get a hold of that, email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org. I will put together, and you will see, a great way to help conserve and benefit from what you're doing, instead of sitting here wondering where grain prices are going to go. So I urge you to email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org. I will get you the link, and you will get set up and be ready to rock and roll. Also, one of our sponsors, obviously Thinkorswim. Today they have cash secured puts, buying stock at a discount with John Hart speaking. And tomorrow they've got options pricing and rolling, okay? And really check those out. They're really great stuff. And they've got a brand new platform coming out as well, which is going to revolutionize the industry. So I urge you to be patient and check that. And if you're not in, let me know. And for my Canadian friends, email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org, because I have got a special deal at Thinkorswim in Canada to help you do better. Anyways, this is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'm going to step out here for a break. We'll be back. TheBubbaShow.org. Check it out. A lot of good stuff. Make sure you get hooked up for everything we've got. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back.
Stay with me, man.
The Bubba.
Listen up. This is philosophical.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And I just want to remind you, Tuesday night, I am doing a special webinar for farmers and producers. And even if you're not, if you want to learn a little bit about hedging, the theory is similar. Email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org. I will send you a link, and it's free. You can come in and check it out and get an idea of the theory of why it's so important for you to hedge. And I want to make sure you understand the different things. But what I thought I'd do today a little bit is, as you guys know, I do lots of commentary. I'm a major player in the business networks. And every Tuesday, I do stuff with Mark Haynes from BNN in Canada. And again, remember, Canadians, I can now get you hooked up with Thinkorswim, TD Ameritrade in Canada, and get you the rates that you're looking for. So make sure that you email me and I get you the details. That's bub@thebubbashow.org. But last Tuesday we talked about Twitter, and I thought I was bullish Twitter. And it was funny, when I was on air, Twitter was up to $41, and by the time I got off air, Twitter was down to $31. Looks like there's a little problem in the world, but I thought Twitter, I was a buy Twitter, sell Amazon. But let's hear it exactly with me and Michael Haynesworth on BNN last Tuesday. Here we go.
Apple up by a half buck to 123.32. Microsoft dipping negative towards the end of the day, just by a penny though, and Google giving back a buck 39 to $659.66. It's also influential for the Dow. Blue chips in the green by 189 points, almost 190 to 17,630. You'd kind of think they were getting ready for the Fed. Let's go to the trading floor in Chicago to talk to the chief strategist at BubbaTrading.com. Todd Horowitz joins us. Todd, good to see you again.
Hi, Michael. How you doing?
Not bad. I'm waiting for Twitter earnings here. Are you?
I am. I'm actually, I think Twitter's earnings, I think after last month's last quarter's debacle, where they early announced, I felt still to get the news into the market before it closed. I think they're probably a pretty good earnings. The stock's been performing really well here today. And but what you really want to look at, Michael, is the way that it kind of deadpanned. When it broke down after last quarter's earnings, it kind of just stood right around that 35 level. I think the stock looks pretty good. I think it's going to make a nice run back up, and I would not be afraid to buy it going here. I think it's a pretty solid play. And there is also, you know, we had that false rumor on takeover talks on that artificial Bloomberg stationery. But, you know, there has been some talk that there could be a player for Twitter. So I think that it's a good solid play. I think you can't get hurt owning Twitter down at these levels.
I can't imagine, though, you're suggesting we buy Twitter for the possibility of it being taken over.
Well, I'm not buying it for that reason, but I think where it stood based on the chart is a technical trade. Based on that, that's a potential. That was why I'd be in it. I mean, I love where it's at. I like the way it held up after it broke down. It did not continue. You know, a lot of stocks, if they're really in trouble, they continue going down. Twitter kind of held that 34, 35 level really solid for the last 30 to 40 days. I think it looks pretty solid. And I mean, I do own it myself going into earnings.
Okay, so as you own it going into earnings, I'm looking at the stock trading 111 times forward earnings. If their monthly average users only rises 2, 3%, as we'd seen in the previous quarter, how could that possibly be worth that kind of PE multiple?
Well, I mean, you could ask that about Netflix. You could ask that about Amazon. If it becomes a darling of Wall Street, which it has not been recently, but if it becomes a favored player, then it could be. Now, just basically on the raw numbers, no, it should probably sell off. But remember, the stock is cut well in half from last time that it reported earnings. So it's not like it's a major player. It's not like it's had a huge run-up going into the earnings. It's pretty much depressed coming here. So, again, could it go lower? Sure. I mean, I could be wrong. It doesn't make me right, because that's what I have on. But the way I look at a chart, I go, here it is. It's holding strong. It's flat. It's coming into earnings. I believe that if anything, the earnings are going to be better than expected, and I would expect to pop. And, of course, we had a little bit of pop early, so I think it'll be pretty good.
Meantime, one tech stock you don't like is Amazon.com. Why are you shorting it?
I just think, look, I can't grasp my head around how that every major advisor loves Amazon. They don't make any real money. I mean, they have the ability to make money, but they don't show any money. They've got a negative P.E. ratio of 1,200. How can I get excited about a company that only knows how to buy other companies and doesn't really know how to make money yet? Now, if they ever make money, what will be the proper price? You know, we had this with Yahoo and other stocks back in the 90s that had either impossible or PEs that were infinity.
eventually they settled down in, and we see that Yahoo settled in at $30. We see Intel settled in at $30. Cisco, the same thing. So the explosion, the love affair at $550 or $530 today is no big deal. I can't see it. I can only be short that stock if I'm going to trade it, because I don't see the fundamental value. I'm a technical trader, but up here at some point, fundamentals and technicals have to meet, and I can't see it here. I can't see them making money. I can't see them being justified this type of price of the stock. They're not worth more than Walmart, in my opinion.
Todd, I don't have time to talk about the U.S. Federal Reserve with you, but if we go to BubbaTrading.com, I can imagine we got your opinion on that.
You can get my opinion out. They're not going to raise rates. Janet Yellen doesn't have the guts to raise them. They're going to stay the same, and that's the way I see it. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
So you got my opinion on he let me sneak that in, okay, and he let me sneak in my views on the Fed as well. And, you know, it's interesting, you know, as we go. But then what I wanted to also share with you is I do commentary. I do financial commentary for the CME, and I wanted to share that with you as well. And, you know, it's always interesting because basically I get a minute or two to do my thing and give you that quick commentary of what I'm seeing. And here's what I had to say after the Fed.
Good morning. This is Todd Horowitz from BubbaTrading.com, coming in from the floor of the CME Group in Chicago, taking a look at this morning's financial picture. Well, we had the long-awaited GDP number, and surprise, surprise, it was a miss. What an upset, when we know that there's absolutely no growth. We know that everything that we have is totally artificial, but yet we continue to look at these numbers, and the experts continue to tell you how good they are and how much growth we're having. Have we not figured out that we're not growing and that the Fed is not going to be able to raise rates because exactly what's happening, that this entire economy is one big house of cards that's been built on the shoulders of free money from the Fed and really only benefited the wealthy? At the end of the day, the markets look like they are going to, you know, sell off a little bit here this morning. But again, we are in that tight range in which we, right up here at 2100, 2120 in the S&P, would be a sell point, looking to go down to about 2040 to 2020. As a buy point, that range continues to persist. We see gold now making new lows again. We've got oil kind of hovering around the $50 level, and yet the bond market is trying to rip higher, and the dollar is much stronger once again. So through it all, the picture is very murky and ugly at best, and where the Fed has no chance to raise rates. So anybody who believes that they're going to raise rates sooner or later, all you have to do is look at the data. There is no data supporting anything except for those who can do the mergers and acquisitions and build those phony balance sheets. So look for an opportunity to get short, trade the range until we break out one way or the other. That's the way I see it. This is Todd Horowitz from BubbaTrading.com, coming in from the floor of the CME Group in Chicago.
And of course, obviously, those comments are no surprise to my gang. You guys know where I stand and what I'm looking at and what I see. I mean, I think it's a whole bunch of crap. Again, that's my opinions. And again, that is only my opinion, but I think that my opinion's pretty damn good when it comes to reading what they're going to do. And, you know, you got to just kind of hang in there and remember, you know, where we are and what we're going to do, because that is fairly simple when we think about it and we look at it, because at the end of the day, it's always the same thing, okay? Nothing changes in life. That is something we know. Markets trade, they do what they're going to do, and that's what we have to focus on. As we look for it, as I mentioned earlier, the Thinkorswim platform is going to get reskinned, they're calling it, at 822, which will give them an unbelievable new look. Make sure you check it out. Make sure you check out their swim lessons every day. And also, if you are looking for a broker or you need some help, you know, Thinkorswim is the trader, the platform of choice of myself and the Badger. So make sure that email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org. I can help you out there. And especially if you're a Canadian, I've now just recently worked out a deal with TD Ameritrade in Canada to get thinkorswim and to give you the same rates that the Americans get. Finally, they can get you on the equal playing field. And lastly but not leastly, tomorrow night I'm doing a webinar, which is Tuesday, for farmers and producers on how to hedge your crops, your livestock, and how to keep yourself in that best position going forward. I'll be doing it with the Badger. So email me today or tomorrow at bubba@thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get part of that webinar. It's free. It's my pleasure. We're going to step out here for a break. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show.
Margie said, Roy, you ain't...
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare. But for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call. And I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you, give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you, and always fun to be here with you. And I've been playing a couple of clips today, and one of the ones that I find interesting, and I get a chance to voice and do my thing, and always love to do that. And of course, on Thursdays I'm on Varney. Let's hear what happened on Varney on Thursday. Here we go.
It go today down. Not sure about whether it will close down. We shall see. Ashley Webster's here. Sandra Smith too. Troy Gajewski is with us, and Todd Horowitz joins us from Chicago. Troy, you're first. Facebook, the most used tech product in the world. 960 million people check it every single day. We've got a lot of people saying you've got to have this in your portfolio. Buy it no matter what the price. And you say?
Well, we say, yeah, if you're a younger person, probably under the age of 55 or 60. But if you're more in the later stages...
A younger person under 55
or 60. But if you're in the later stages of your life... And the reason is it's very hard. Facebook's a great company. Obviously, it's a big winner in social media. But when you look at its forward prospects, a lot of it depends on how it trades. And it's up quite substantially from the IPO. So the next year or two, perhaps it continues to disappoint. Very lofty expectations.
Really? So you think it's going to disappoint for a couple of years?
It could potentially, is the point, because given its valuation, it's trading at around 99 earnings.
High valuation.
It's high valuation. So you could go through a multiple-year period where it goes sideways or even loses value, even though its underlying business is doing extremely well.
All right. We hear you.
Yeah.
Looks to me like it's the Amazon model of development to me. But hey, Todd Horowitz, you're a youngster. Come on in. will you buy, should you buy Facebook for your portfolio at your age?
At my advanced age, Stuart, good morning. No, I'm not a buyer of Facebook here. I think that Facebook needs to sell off a little bit. The stock's up 400% from its all-time lows and up 150% from the IPO price. It's had a nice run here, up 24%, but it needs a little bit of a sell-off. I think you want to look more somewhere around 80 to 85 would be a good level to probably look to get in here. I think it's a great company, a great stock, but not at this price.
All right, Todd, we hear you. Thanks a lot. The economy, numbers on the economy, we grew at an annual rate of 2.3% in the springtime. Troy, that's the same pace we've been at for 6 years. That's kind of lackluster.
It is lackluster. And we know there's a lot of policy mistakes going on in Washington that constrain it. That being said, the good news from the revisions was you actually saw that growth had improved in 14 and has a chance to do slightly better in 15 than 14. The consumer's getting stronger, as we know. They're probably in the best shape they've been since the late 90s, early 2000s. Corporate America's still lean and mean. And the government's not a fiscal drag anymore. So we think the economy gradually gets better, but we're still not going to have 3%, 3.5% growth.
Is it enough for the Fed to raise rates in September?
We think it is. We think it's enough.
So you're saying conclusively the Fed raises rates in September or the fall of this year?
Yes. By around 25 basis points.
Sandra Smith?
Could be less.
Can you approach the Fed without using jargon so we don't buzz you?
Sure. I mean, I watch the Fed Watch on the CME group all the time, which looks at the Fed fund futures, which tells us it's a good idea of what the market is predicting. And right now, the probability or the likelihood of the first rate hike is pushed out to December. It keeps getting pushed back, so that could likely move back into 2016. We'll see.
All right, Todd, come on into this one. 2.3% growth, lackluster is what I'm calling it. And you say what?
I say it stinks, and I say it's more of what we've seen where the Fed's driving and they're still living on Fantasy Island without the ability of going to raise rates, and they're not going to raise rates this year. I don't care what the Fed funds rates are pricing in right now. They have no way to raise rates because we don't have any growth, and the only money that's being made is by corporate takeovers, mergers and acquisitions, and company buybacks. The jobs picture stinks. Where do we think we're getting growth, and how are they going to justify a rate increase here?
Okay, well, we hear you. Let's see what happens on the market. I want you to take a look at the Shell Oil Company cutting 6,500 jobs because of low oil.
And where do you think they're going to get growth from? Who are they kidding? Is this again, the Fed on Fantasy Island? I need tattoo. Boss, the plane, boss. But anyways, so let's go from Varney to CNBC because, again, I get to make some of the same comments. So let's go right to CNBC Worldwide from Friday morning.
We've had so much going on this week in terms of the GDP print, which was so-so. It was nothing to write home about. Then we had the Fed statement, which didn't really offer too much clarity, I guess. What do you think in terms of September or December, or do you think this year is completely off the table?
How about next year? There will be no interest rate rise. The Fed itself has painted itself back into a corner, and they're really not sure how to get out. They got a big break with all the trouble in China and Greece that kind of took them off the front page. Right now, we have such a mess, and if you're watching, you're seeing every major central bank is trying to manipulate their own currency to prevent the bottoms from falling out. We see it in China, but of course, that eventually fell. They're not in a position to raise rates. They missed their window a couple of years ago. So what's going to happen now is they're going to push it off. Janet Yellen in her Humphrey Hawkins testimony of last week, if you listen, she said, well, we'll look at December. Now, we know for sure if they believe that it's going to crack the stock market, they're not going to raise before Christmas. So I think September is definitely off. And because of the possibility of a sell-off, it's not going to be Christmas. I would say possibly first quarter next year, but I would bet heavily against that they're going to raise any time in 2015.
Keeping an eye on the Treasury market, Todd, and former Fed Chair Volcker telling CNBC that liquidity in the bond market is not an issue. Would you agree with him?
I would. I think that the bonds have been, actually the bond market itself, the futures have been the most volatile product on the floor right now, which is extremely interesting over the years because typically the bonds are the most stable. But you're seeing, what you're really seeing here is you're seeing a big problem. You're seeing fear, which is pushing up the US dollar and pushing the Treasury bonds. When people run into fear, they run into not gold, they run into the US dollar and the US Treasury market because that's where you go for safe money.
The Bubba Creed, safe money, the US bonds, the US dollar, and the US Marine Corps. You know, again, you hear the nonsense and the noise that is put on by all of these pundits. And I find it remarkable that we actually buy into this crap. If you think that the, first of all, if you think that the Federal Reserve has any freaking clue of what they're doing right now, you better think again. Because this is the most lost group of people that has no idea how to run a business, how to make a market work. I don't even think they know how a market functions, which is, well, they're not alone. Most people don't. But as I look and I wonder, and in amazement, I wonder, because to me, I don't know what the hell they're thinking. You cannot continue to borrow money to put yourself back on the map to get out. When you try to borrow to get out of debt, remember this, and I've said this many, many times here on the Bubba Show. I have said it on air on TV. I've written it, and I'm telling you this. If you or me, or you or I, whatever the right terminology is, if you and I did this, we would either be in bankruptcy court or in jail. Okay? Now, unfortunately, many of us are in credit card debt, which is another form of jail, because, you know, the usury rates that you have to pay on these credit cards, you can never get out of the disaster. So if you think that any of this is any good, if you believe that the Fed is doing the right thing, I think you better look and check again, because they are totally destroying the free economy, the free markets, because now every major market around the globe is manipulating it, saying, well, you got to buy equities. That's the only way you're going to have a chance to return any yield on your portfolio is by buying equities. And I can tell you, we've talked about it before, but the old South Sea bubble, the final debt just got paid off 400 years later. Okay. We'll be paying this debt off into your great-grandchildren. And the problem is that it's only going to get worse, because you can't keep avoiding the trouble. You know, the first step when you have a problem, and we'll call this Fed Anonymous, is to admit you have a problem. And they will not admit that there's a problem. They continue to tell you about how good things are turning and the way they see them. Now, if you look at a very simple, here's a very simple mathematical calculation. New jobs have been coming in basically at minimum wage. Let's just say $10 an hour. And we've been creating 200 and some thousand jobs a month. Now, Royal Dutch Shell just laid off 6,500 workers. Last week, I think we had total layoffs of over 15,000 workers. Now, the workers that got laid off were not minimum wage workers. They were workers that were probably making, let's say, three times minimum wage. So in a mathematical sense, we basically just lost last week 50,000 jobs of the print that's going to come this week. And let's say the print's going to be 250. Well, 50,000 are gone and people aren't working anyways. And the way that these guys count, okay, we always wonder how the government counts. And of course, we know they don't know how. Maybe they can use my fingers or toes. But at the end, we're going to see another disaster. But again, of course, we continue to flourish on bad news, because that means that the rates are going to stay low. So how low can you go? Let's limbo. Make sure you get signed up for the hedging webinar I'm doing tomorrow night, Tuesday. Just email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org now, and I will immediately email you a link. You can check it out. It is for basically farmers and producers, but it will give you a general idea of hedging in general. And make sure you check out our friends at Thinkorswim, built by traders for traders. This is The Bubba Show. Todd, Bubba Hartz. We're going to step out here for a break, and we're going to come back with our friend Angie Miles from CBOE TV. Todd, Bubba Horwitz, The Bubba Show. We'll see you right back after the break. The Bubba Show. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd, Bubba Horwitz, and coming in clean up today because she's one of my favorites. My good friend, Angie Miles, CBOE TV, and her new TV show on The Russell. What's up, Angie?
Hey, what's going on with you?
Oh, it's, week, huh? It's all good. What a crazy week last week. It's funny. We went up, we went down, and we went nowhere. It was another amazing week of if you were on a deserted island and you came home and nothing happened.
Here we are. No one moved. Exactly. And I think that we might be headed for some more of this. I feel a summer slump coming on. How about yourself?
You know, I think there's no reason to believe we're going to go higher because, you know, the data is not great. And then there's no reason to go lower because the Fed is still there. So there's really kind of, you know, we're in the, believe it or not, the tightest range in the equity market since the year 1900. So 115 years, this is the tightest trading range we've ever had.
Wow, that is unbelievable. Good stat there. And it feels like it.
And I don't expect anything to change because, you know, I think that we're going a lot lower eventually. But, you know, as long as the central banks stay involved, it's hard for the market to want to go lower because the biggest problem, and really one of my bigger concerns, is for the average guy who wants to put some money like in a savings account or whatever. They can't do that because they can't get any yield. So they have to be forced to trade stock, which is okay. I mean, listen, there's nothing wrong with owning stocks. I love stocks. I always own stock. You know, as bearish as I am, I'm still an owner. But I just, you know, in the short term, you know, I think like a trader. So I'm looking at the short term. But what did you think? I guess the first question I had is, what did you think of Janet Yellen and the Fed and their Fed speak again last week? What was your take of that?
I just felt like it was a non-event almost. People are now thinking December for this rate hike. She says it will happen this year. I think September is coming off of the table, though, based on that GDP number we had last week. What do you think?
Well, I said on Barney on Thursday, I said there's no way this year whatsoever. There's a zero probability that they raise because the truth of the matter is, as we know that you're always a very positive person, and I love that about you, but the truth of the matter is that the jobs number, although the numbers themselves are okay, they're really not very good jobs. And then when you take into consideration the number of layoffs we had last week, you know, we laid off 6,500, for example, at Royal Dutch Shell of people that make, let's say, $30 an hour, okay? And you're going to bring back next jobs number, you're going to bring back a bunch of, $9 an hour employees. So how many, you know, if you lose 6,500 at 30, that means you need 19,000 at 10 to replace those. So it, to me, it's kind of hard to get the numbers. The numbers just don't make a lot of sense to me. What about you?
I think that as long as the payroll number this week shows that we're still above 200,000, it'll be great. I think anything below that does change the picture a bit for the Fed and maybe causes the Fed to pull back. But I still think it's going to happen this year. I still think we will end the year higher. I just think it's a time for looking at individual stocks. And remember, we promised your listeners that we would talk about Nike, and we haven't done that yet. Are you doing anything with it right now?
I'm not a big player of Nike, and not, you know, listen, obviously I wear Nike shoes. I think they're a phenomenal company, but the truth is Nike for me, for my taste, is not volatile enough, so I find it hard to get involved. I mean,
steady for you.
You know, it just doesn't, you know, Nike's like trading Microsoft or one of those guys that, you know, I mean, listen, it's had a great move. I mean, Under Armour, now that would be one to talk about. That's been a monster.
Oh. That's a monster. What are you doing with Under Armour?
Actually, I've never gotten involved with it because the options were never quite liquid enough for me. You know, they weren't. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't trade enough volume. I stick to, you know, the Apples and the Facebooks of the world.
That's what I love about you. Twitter. What do you think about Twitter?
You know, it was funny. I was on live on air when the earnings came out, and I was actually long for earnings. And I'm on air, and I'm giving my case of why I wanted to be long, and I go, wow, it's up to 41. And then by the time I got back to the car, it was back to 31. I go, oh, my God, what happened?
That was a killer, wasn't it?
I think Twitter's got some issues. What do you think?
It's funny. I love the product. I am on Twitter more than any other social media. I think it's awesome if you're looking for a good news feed because you're actually picking who you want to hear news from, and even people that you might not think you want to hear from. It's sort of interesting to find out what's going on, what the buzz is around the world. As far as the stock, wow, those options last week were trading down to the 25-put strike. And there was such aggressive put buying last week. I'm just not sure where the floor is on this stock. I'm a little bit nervous. But it reminded me of something else, and that was Facebook. Remember when the whole debacle happened with the IPO? And after that, Facebook looked like it was down and out. It did. It was trading, I think, with the low $17, $18.
Yeah.
And look at it now.
But don't you think that's a great question?
But I don't know. If Facebook or Twitter has the same gumption and possibility to make it as well as Facebook.
Well, let me ask you this question. That's a great point. So let me ask you this question then. So if you compare the two, and I used to always compare the two. But Facebook had its issues like right away. I mean, it was 40. You know, they had a whole the whole debacle getting it open. It was 40. Then immediately within a couple of months, it was $18 or $19. And I was a big fan. I was a buyer. Okay. And I told everybody to buy it. I thought it was a great buy. But Twitter is a little bit older and should be a little bit more mature. They were going to go through, because if you remember, LinkedIn went through the same thing as Facebook did. But Twitter doesn't seem to be on their playing field. What do you think about that?
I agree. Facebook seems to have a lot of momentum with video, and yet you can go on Twitter right now and find a lot of videos to watch. Twitter has no problem, you know, linking videos, but maybe it's just the layout of Twitter that makes it different than Facebook. Facebook now has that side column where they put the trending news stories on. I thought that was a terrific idea, and apparently it's working. I know I'm getting emails, this is trending, that's trending, and then when I go on Facebook, I can actually find out what's happening. So it's interesting that Facebook really has just made that more of a foray into video in the past, 3 months or so? 6 months?
Yeah, I mean,
it's a push. And Twitter's had it forever, but maybe it's just a marketing problem.
You know what? I did hear. Maybe, I'm sorry.
They don't tout enough. They're not doing it right.
Well, you know what? I heard that the truth is, what I've heard, the complaints I've heard is the 140 characters is too tough. It's too hard to really get. And I have a problem, you know, because, you know, I like to fire off a lot of tweets, you know, like, you know, I tweet to the networks a lot when I get irritated, when they're talking about things that I want to yell at. And I've always got to adjust, you know, I've got to start taking out words and I got to reword. So it takes me, instead of just, you know, stripping something right out and getting my point across, I got to reconfigure it. I heard that was some of the issue, but I think that, look, I thought Twitter was going to be good, but I don't like the way it looks here. I really thought it was going to do well after earnings, which it did. But, of course, it lasted about 5 minutes, and I didn't have any orders working up there. But overall, you know, look, I think Facebook is solid. We saw by the earnings. Now, of course, the stock sold off a little bit. But, you know, listen, you know, when a stock's up, it's up 400% from its lows. It's up 150% from its IPO. It's up 24% this year. Am I really worried about it? I mean, I'm not a buyer at 99 or 95. I said on Barney, I'd be a buyer at 80, 85. That would be a good spot for me, I think, to get in, and I would have no problem owning it. I don't like to buy stocks that have had such drastic moves, because we know one thing for sure. No matter how bearish you or bullish you are, and you know how much, no matter what color your rose glasses are, there's going to be some sort of correction at some point, and you want to be a buyer into some support, not just trying to chase up momentum. You know, it's a little bit different because you're just holding them. But, you know, if you're looking at them, I mean, you know, why not try to buy at a better level? Because, you know, it's always going to come at some point. If you're patient enough to wait, it's going to come to you, don't you think?
I do. Here's another issue that happened last week. Can we just talk about Whole Foods for a moment?
We can talk about Whole Foods for 30 seconds.
Okay. I just think the shorts are so heavy in it. I think that people are starting to realize it's a trendy hot place to shop, but it's expensive.
It's very expensive. You got to have a big job to be able to afford to eat there, to buy there. I think that there's a lot of things, but I think, unfortunately, we'll have to pick this up another day, but I think that does say a lot about the economy of that class of people, because typically people who shop at a Whole Foods store don't really care about the price, but you're seeing, I think there's a difference, but we'll have to pick that up. My friend, Angie Miles, CBOE-TV. What's your Russell show called?
Oh, the Russell Report airs on Friday.
The Russell Report. Angie, you are the best. We always love having you on the Bubba Show.
Thank you so much.
This was Angie Miles, and this is the Bubba Show. Todd, Bubba Horowitz, we got to go for today, but we'll see you back here tomorrow, same time, same station, the Bubba Show. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.